Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Go figure that. But I'll be right back.
connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Status habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Sir, I am here. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. I'm on your website right now. Let's talk about, actually, I'm not even going to, I want to talk to you about the tax cuts. What's up with the tax cuts? Congress, and also unemployment. Why is Congress putting their toes for the unemployment to get people their unemployment? Are they doing something we don't? Are they doing something with that? That they're covering something up that they don't have enough money to supply unemployment, or are they just full crapping around?
Well, first of all, unemployment is split up into six sections: U1, U2, U3, U4, U5, and the total of those are as U6. And officially, the U3 is what you see in the reports and the newspapers, and that's 9.6%. But there's a whole bunch of other factors, and you put them together, and in U6 you get 17% unemployment.
Yeah.
Now, there's a thing that they use. It's called the birth-death ratio. Most people don't know about it because they're not in that kind of business like I am.
Yeah.
And what it does is it guesses how many jobs are created by how many companies, and how many companies are created, and how many companies go out of business.
Yeah.
It's a bogus way of Mickey Mouse and the figures.
Yeah.
Real unemployment is 22.625%. Just to give you a perspective, at the height of the Depression in 1933, that U3 figure that you see today, which is 9.6%, was 25.2%.
Yeah.
And the U6 figure that you saw, I just gave you, at 17%, was 37.6%. So we got a ways to go if we're going to match up with the 1930s.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the question is, number one, is unemployment getting any better? And the answer is no. Will it get any better? Probably not.
Yeah.
Why is it going to get better? Well, QE2, which is the second amount of money and credit that's going to be thrown into the economy, is not going to help unemployment. The first QE2, quantitative easing, was used to bail out the banks, lenders, transnational conglomerates. And this one, they're talking in terms of $700 billion. They will spend $2.5 trillion by the end of September of this coming year. And they'll do the same thing the following year. I predicted back in May, the middle of May, that there would be quantitative easing. And nobody else did. Well, finally they did. 3 or 4 months later, they caught on to what these people were up to. The problem there is that nobody wants to buy the Treasury paper and the agency paper, these are bonds, anymore. Yeah. Agency is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and FHA.
Mm-hmm.
So the lender of last resort is the Federal Reserve, privately owned, incidentally. It's not part of the government.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is buying Treasury paper because nobody else wants it, because the country's so much in debt. The short-term debt is $14 trillion approximately. Long-term debt is about $205 trillion.
Wow.
And that's Social Security, Medicare, and all those other long-distance problems.
Yeah.
And getting back to unemployment, if the money is going to, that's going to be created, incidentally, out of thin air. If they're going to do that, what's going to happen is that they'll end up owning all of the Treasury paper.
Yeah.
And it won't help unemployment one bit. So I think by June, unemployment could very well be 25%. And maybe even higher.
Out in public.
What's that?
In the public. I mean, the public is actually going to know that it's 25%. Because right now, the public...
No, they won't tell them that, Philip. They'll tell them probably it's 13%, maybe 14%. It's just like the CPI figures with the inflation figures. The figures that dictate the COLA, cost of living adjustment.
Yeah.
There's been no adjustment for 2 years.
Wow.
And the reason why is they need the money, and they're screwing the old people. I mean, low interest rates aren't bad enough. Let's say if you saved $100,000 during your lifetime, and now you're lucky to get 0.5% for having your money. And, of course, inflation ranges between 4 and 7%, not the figures they give you, which is 1.6%. And that's going to get a lot worse. Because food prices, gasoline prices, petroleum product prices, they're all going up. And that's a lead pipe cinch, I'll tell you.
So, where do you see a loaf of bread costing about a year from here? Now I can get a loaf of bread, a good loaf of bread for about $1 when it's on sale.
Oh, about $1.50.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is look at the commodity market. In the months of July, August, September, and October, which is a four-month period, oats, barley, cotton, which we don't eat, and wheat and corn and soybeans have all doubled. So you don't have to be a genius to figure out that either the producers and suppliers of food are either going to pass on the higher costs or they're going to eat them and have lower profits. And I can assure you, they're not going to eat anything in the way of losses. And so those costs are going to come through. And so things are going to get more difficult. This is why for the last 10 years I've told people, look, higher unemployment's coming. Difficult times are coming. Buy dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and put them away. They last 30 years. Buy things that you would normally eat. If you don't have money to do that, buy extra cans of what you normally would eat or extra frozen items that you can fit in your refrigerator and rotate them. At least if you lose your job, maybe you'll be able to eat for 2 months or 6 months, yeah. or 2 years for that matter.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important. And, we just saw, as you mentioned, Philip, that they're going to stop long-term unemployment insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from a fiscal standpoint, I can understand that. But there's no jobs
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
They're putting 2 million people on the street. What they're looking for is a revolution. That is
yeah.
dumber than dumb. And I am not a socialist, a Marxist, a communist, a fascist. I am none of those things. I'm
yeah.
a practical human being. People
yeah.
got to eat. 44
yeah.
million people are using food stamps. I mean, that's incredible. And
yeah.
that's only $300 or $400 a month. Now, without
yeah.
an unemployment check of $800 or $1,200 or $1,600 a month, these people got a terrible problem. And already
yeah.
the food pantries, the minute they get food, they're being wiped out.
Yeah.
And the reason why is the economy is desperate. And,
yeah.
and everybody knows that. And if you'd like
yeah.
to know why it is, it's not only the deficit spending of previous administrations, including this one. These people spend like there's no tomorrow. Had nothing to do with anybody's party. Nothing.
Yeah.
They're all a bunch of criminals with the exception of a handful. I mean, even Charlie Rangel's on his way out. They finally caught up with him. And you just cannot continue to do what these people have been doing with deficit spending, creation of money and credit, and making no effort whatsoever to really find a solution to what's going on.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to go from QE2 to QE3. The debt will be funded by the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
It's called monetization. When the Fed buys the bonds from the Treasury or the agencies, that money immediately goes into the economy.
Uh-huh.
It's called hot money. And it's very inflationary. So if you think
yeah.
inflation is bad now, wait till oil is $150 a barrel. And a loaf of bread that you just talked about, that's a dollar, that's going to be a dollar and a half, $4 or $5 maybe.
Yeah.
And it's going to be food shortages because they are not producing enough food. Weather is a factor, but there's just not enough food to go around. The third world is going to starve to death. And that's, you can take it to the bank.
Yeah.
And I don't like to have to tell you the truth,
yeah.
but I'm going to, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. What do you see the economy being next summer?
Well, I have projected a 2% increase in gross domestic product, GDP, for the fourth quarter of this year, which we're in right now. I have been deadly accurate for years on that and interest rates and goodness knows what else. I'm a very lucky guy. And this has been going on for 20 years. I've been right 98% of the time. And no human being should be that fortunate, but I am.
Yeah.
The first quarter will be a -1%. The second quarter will be a -1%. And then finally, the money coming into the economy will catch up. And going into the third quarter, which is July, August, September of next year, growth might move back up to 2%. But they're not going to get the 3%, actually it was 3.25, for five quarters that they got with QE1. They're not going to get it. They'll keep the head above water. That's about it. And then they're going to have to come back with another $2.5
trillion.
The whole thing is just really insanity.
Yeah.
And it's all being controlled from behind the scenes, Wall Street, banking, insurance, pharmaceutical companies. My wife said to me yesterday, this medicine that I take, it's gone up 25% in one year. Now, we don't live in the United States. We live in a foreign land.
Yeah.
And we do not get U.S. prices. In other words, if a prescription costs a dollar in America, where we live, it costs 40, 50, 60 cents.
Yeah.
Because Americans pay more for their drugs, prescription drugs, than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
It's wrong. I mean, they just take advantage of Americans. And now it's got to the point where people can't afford because of the co-pays and all of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
They can't afford to buy medicine. They cut down on it or they don't do it. And they die.
Yeah.
And the people behind the scenes could care less. That's that much more. That much less. Social Security, the government's got to pay out. And the cost for Medicare. You know, I've been on a Medicare for 10 years. I'm 75 years old.
Uh-huh.
I have never made a claim.
Yeah.
And neither has my wife.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're very healthy people. We lived right. For 47 years, we've been vitamins, herbs, hormones, minerals. We take them every day for years and years. And I suppose we have longevity, which is probably better than other people as well. And so we've been very fortunate. It's one of the reasons that I do these programs. And I do about 30 hours a week.
Wow.
And I go all over the world. Because I want to let people know very simply how they're getting screwed and who's doing it to them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It cuts across all the people in the world. The poor, the semi-poor, the lower middle class, the middle class, the upper middle class. The only people who are doing okay are the rich.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
Yeah. Pretty much, pretty much. What do you look at as far as global government? I know I was watching Ace Ventura about the JFK assassination. Now, you know, even at the age, I was 11, I think it was 78, I was about 9, and I remember watching a TV program with my mom, and I think the film, Zapruder film, was out then, and I was looking at something, and I said, Mom, that don't look like somebody shot him from behind, it looks like it came from the front, and I was nine at the time. Now, I'm not trying to get into that, but what I'm trying to get into is the people who really run the world seems to be the joke of society, the system that we live in. You know, they joke about it on The Simpsons, or, you know, they joke, you know, kind of make movies of it, but no one really takes it seriously because everybody thinks everything happens just naturally. And then people sit around and they say, why is everything still the same? The more things change, the more things stay the same. But you can't come up to them and say, you know, it's because it's a conspiracy. Look on the back of your dollar bill. So what I'm asking you is, what do you see as far as tie the economy into these men, that diabolical plan to bring us into a world government, and how soon do you see this thing coming?
Well, we've been into it for a number of years, and this is, as far as they're concerned, what one might call in French a coup de grace. They're waiting for the right spot to pull the plug and just chop us up in little pieces financially and economically. Everything that you see going on has been created deliberately.
Yeah.
I've been studying history for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And I have gotten into history of the mysteries of why things have happened during the last 1,000 or more years.
Uh-huh.
And there are a group of people who have managed to continue in control at least for the last 1,000 years that we've known it. And there's some people who come and join them, and some people who go and they never see them again because their line of descendants die off or they're not interested. But these people want, as you said, a world government, because they think that they know better what's good for us than we do. And I got news for them. There's a lot of bright people out there who are just as smart as they are. And it's our job, because of the gifts that we've been given by God, that we have to go out and tell the people how they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And we are being taken advantage of, and have for a long, long time. All of these wars that we've been in, First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, the First Iraq War, the Second one now in Afghanistan, and all the other little things that went on in between. They're all profit-motivated.
Uh-huh.
They didn't happen. They were created.
Yeah.
You know, I spent several years working in counterintelligence for the United States government when I was a young man.
Yeah.
And the first thing I read in a host of things that were given to us was that the Japanese diplomatic code had been broken by MI5 in England, which is the equivalent of the CIA today, and by naval intelligence in the United States. And they knew every single thing the Japanese were doing. Everything.
Wow. Yeah.
They lined up the ships in Pearl Harbor so that they could bomb so we could have a war. And that is a fact. It's been declassified. In fact, the first information was declassified in 1968. And there's been more since. This has been going on with every one of our wars. In fact, today the Lord Mayor of London said, if George W. Bush comes to England, he won't leave because he will be charged with starting a war without any evidence whatsoever. And it's only going to be a matter of time before he's tried for treason.
Yeah.
And it'll come about when things get really bad. And there's no place this guy can hide. I mean, he owns all this land on the coastal area of China with his family, and also in Paraguay, which is in South America, which is north of Uruguay, and northwest of Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the big aquifers of the world, is under the property that they own. But he's not going to be able to hide. Nobody can hide today.
Yeah.
I live in other countries because of what I say.
Yeah.
Just to stay out of harm's way.
Yeah.
And I've done that for a long time because I've been threatened by the government many times.
Yeah.
They seem to think, because I used to work for them, that they own me. Well, I get news for them. They don't.
Yeah.
There is a conspiracy, all you listeners. It exists.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Do you think President Obama actually gets visited by individuals who control the world and say, this is what you're going to do? Or do you believe he's guided by the Council of Foreign Relations and other memos that are sent to him that he reads and he's taking instructions? How do you foresee this thing work with
the president? Well, I think you have to look at the nomenclature. You have to look at the breakdown. The visible parts of the power behind government are the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group, the Group of 30, the Group of 300, and there's piles of these groups.
Yeah.
They're all interconnected. They all work for the same people. There are people that you don't know anything about, and neither do I, for that matter, who are behind the scenes, who are controlling things.
Yeah.
The genesis, the nucleus of the people who control things, the elitists will call them, or the Illuminati, which some people call them, is the black nobility in Europe. These are the people who for centuries have controlled Europe and then the United States, and then when George III got kicked out, they had a problem.
Yeah.
That's the first time they ever had something happen to them that they couldn't control and couldn't take back.
Yeah.
But these are the people, along with their minions who work with them. I mean, I get lists of families. I know some of these people personally.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that I know what I know about them, and I'm not going to tell them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sat down with Prince Charles when he was dating Diane, and talked about world events and other things, and his father, who is euphemistically known in London as Nick the Greek. And I know him quite well because my daughter won Wildlife Girl of the Year 1 year, and so I met him in Lausanne. I lived over half the world, and I speak five languages, so I've been around the block a few times. But these people, they don't know that I know, and I never tell them, because I want to see how much information I can get.
Yes.
And I haven't seen them for a number of years. Most of my contacts were during the 70s and 80s and into the 90s in a small way. But I used to hobnob with these people because I was one of the biggest stockbrokers in the world. I was the largest gold-silver stockbroker in the world. So they like to know people like that who are very successful.
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of gold and silver, what's going on with those two?
With whom?
Gold and silver. What's going on with that?
Well, for 28 years, I was the largest gold-silver stockbroker in the world, by far.
Yeah.
There wasn't anybody who was even close. So I am one of the world's experts on gold, silver, platinum, palladium commodities, and particularly the shares. I know the managements of all the companies, where they've been, who they're working for, what organizations like the CFR and the Trilats that they belong to. I keep track of everything. And fortunately, I have a photographic memory, and it still works real well even at this late stage in life. And I don't forget anything. I'm like an old elephant now. And fortunately, I'm very healthy. That helps too. But these people try to make all currencies in the world fiat. And what that means is they don't have anything backing them, with one exception, other than the good word of a bunch of people in a government who they could care less about anybody but themselves.
Yeah.
And so they did away in all currencies except the euro. Used to be 15% backed by gold, now it's 5%.
Yeah.
And probably you'll end up being nothing one of these days. They're talking about a world currency. The dollar's in trouble. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But let me say this. If the dollar's in trouble and it's a world reserve currency, they have to get it so it's viable. And they've taken all the gold out from the back of all the currencies. In America, that happened on August the 15th, 1971. And since then, the whole country's gone to hell in a handbasket. You've got to have gold backing your currency. So if the United States has the gold it says it has, it's about 8,000 tons. And I don't know whether they have it or not, but I do know this. We have subscribers who are retired from the military just a year ago, had the job of guarding the gold in Fort Knox and counting it etc. Yeah. Now, I don't know who the Golden Fort Knox belongs to, and neither does anybody else except the government.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether those are tungsten bars with gold coating on them, but if that gold there and below the Federal Reserve in New York City, and also up at West Point, if that gold, in fact, part of it belongs to the United States government, all they have to do is have a large meeting like the Smithsonian meeting in the early 70s, the Plaza Accord in 85, the Louvre Accord in 1987. And all they have to do is have all the countries come and devalue and revalue currencies against one another and multilaterally default on debt. Once that's accomplished, the U.S. can reback the dollar if they have the gold, and it'll remain the world currency. And
yeah.
So, where is gold going? Gold and silver are going to go right through the roof.
Yeah.
I have had people buying gold coins, bullion, and shares for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And needless to say, they've made a lot of money, and they've kept their assets intact.
Mm-hmm.
And we may only be one-eighth of the way to where this stuff is going.
Yeah.
If you look at inflation since 1980, you'll find officially that gold should be selling at $2,400 an ounce.
Yeah.
And if you look at unofficial inflation, gold should be selling at $7,700 an ounce. So you say to yourself, well, why is that? It's because your government has been suppressing the price of gold and silver for all that time. Now, silver started to take off, finally following gold. Now, why? Because there's three class action lawsuits against J.P. Morgan Chase and HSBC, which is Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, for manipulating the silver market, and they've got them dead. And so they are naked short, and they're going to have to cover those positions, and they're going to have to pay everybody off who's been stolen from. And it's interesting that J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest shareholder in the Federal Reserve.
Hmm.
They're going to get taken down. And how we're going to do that is by running the price of silver up and crippling them. And they deserve to go out of business. They're criminals.
Yeah.
I spent 28 years in the brokerage business on Wall Street, and I own my own firm. I am not a dingbat. I know what I'm talking about. I know all the players, the characters. I know what they do. I know how they make their money. I know how they take advantage of the public, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's good. That's good.
And I'm a street fighter.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And one more thing before you take off. Give me an update on the Europe and the rest of the world, China, right quick, if you can. Give me an update how they're doing versus the dollar, and what are their hang-ups right now?
China has 30 million people unemployed. China has lots of problems. They take exception to the United States having a $2.5 trillion bailout. But they don't tell anybody that they had a $2.5 trillion bailout. They did the same thing the Fed in the U.S. did. So why does that make them any different? China's got many problems. And number one is 1.4 billion people.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feed them? What do you do with them? And they've been limiting births since the 1950s. Can you imagine how many people would be in China if there wasn't forced non-breeding?
Yeah.
Anyway, China's got problems. And they're trying to bide their time. They want a war. They want to get rid of half their population, minimum. And they've done this before. The only way they did it was through communist purges. They killed 700 million of their own people.
Well, yeah.
They're animals. Human animals. The people who run China and have since Mao Zedong, who is put in power by the United States government. And Chiang Kai-shek, and incidentally, those two men were married to two sisters. Chiang Kai-shek was sent over to Taiwan. And the U.S. told him, that's the guy that's going to lead things, and that's the way we want it. And I have deep, deep history on China, Japan. You know, I grew up during the 30s and the 40s. I know what went on. And I happen to be a very precocious child. But anyway, Europe, I wrote articles 15 years ago saying how the euro and, at that time, the European Common Market, which became the European Union, was a disaster waiting to happen, especially the euro, because what they did, they said, originally it was 14 members, now it's 16. They said, one interest rate fits everybody. Well, every country is at different stages of development. Some export a lot and some don't.
Yeah.
Some are poorer than others. And so what happened? Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Greece got cheap money, and they went bananas. And now they're all on the verge of bankruptcy. And they're going to go under, and eventually the euro will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Now, is that there is a possibility they may have a northern euro, but I don't think it's doable. And I'll tell you why. You know, and this is something that nobody ever gets into. And I'm not an expert on anthropology. But I lived in these countries in Europe for years. Speak their languages. You hear about tribes. Everybody thinks the tribes are in Africa or in Asia.
Yeah.
There's tribes all over Europe. I get news for you.
Yeah.
Look at Germany. They speak four different languages in Germany, but nobody ever tells you that. Hochdeutsch, which is High German, Plattdeutsch, which is spoken through the middle and northern part of the country, Schwabisch, which is spoken in the south near Stuttgart, and then Bayerisch, which is spoken in Munich, or München as it's known in German, and even Basel and Zurich in Switzerland, which are German cities essentially, or Teutonic cities. They have their own dialects, too. Now, you talk about tribalism. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that these people don't even get along with each other. And every country in Europe's like that. So how can we think that we can get 27 countries together that are going to do things with one another? And it isn't going to happen. It defies natural reality. It's unnatural. And that's why the European Union is going to end up breaking up, and all these dreams of trying to form world government are going to get on the sewer, because we're going to help them get down there by telling the people the truth.
Yeah.
And that's just very, very fundamental.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you think about the Mediterranean Union that Sarkozy is trying to start?
Sarkozy is, that's all trade-oriented, and I spent a lot of time in North Africa. I lived in Zimbabwe for 3 years, lived in South Africa for a couple of years, and I lived in North Africa as well, which is a horrible place. I hate it. And they just want to make business on the same level that they did when they colonialized the place. And some of my best friends were in the Foreign Legion. And because I was in counterintelligence, I would meet these people. And, you know, they fought the Algerians and then finally left and allowed Algeria and Tunisia and Morocco, the Sahara, which is French and Spanish Sahara, to have their own governments. But this was all part of the colonialism that evolved during the 18th and 19th century. And all they did was, well, they did bring order and culture to the places that they took over, but they robbed them all. They took everything. Yeah. I mean, I know I've lived there, especially in Africa. In fact, I used to speak Shona, but I haven't spoken it for 30 years. I only occasionally remember some of the words because I don't live there anymore. I had a business there with 300 Africans. So I really live with the people. There's very few Americans who have ever done that. Maybe some Europeans, but not Americans. But anyway. That's why people don't get along. I mean, look at Zimbabwe. You have two basic tribes, the Shona and the Nabili. The Nabili is a northern extension of the Zulu tribes. And after the winds of change in 1980, when they gave what was then Rhodesia back to the popular vote of people, Robert Mugabe took over. And what he did was essentially kill off the leadership of the Nabili. And quite frankly, the Nabili was more responsible for the changes that took place in Rhodesia, which became Zimbabwe. And I know Robert Mugabe very well. And I'll tell you how I know. You're going to laugh when you hear this. I lived in Salisbury, which is now Harare, although there was a township there called Harare. So there wasn't much of a change because, they just did away with the name Salisbury. And I lived in Borrowdale, actually in Greystone Park, which is part of it. And when I went into my business every day, I had to go by the prison, which is right in the middle of town practically. And so I went in to get a dog for my son. He was 4 at the time, and now he's 42, so that was 38 years ago. And they used to give away female Alsatians. An Alsatian dog is what they're called there. We called them German Shepherds. So I got a dog, and I got to talking to one of the inmates. And lo and behold, it was Mugabe. And I happen to be a very bright person. And he's not stupid. Believe me, he's very, very smart. And I would always stop. I used to get down very early in the morning. And he used to tend the flowers outside of the prison and along the periphery and everything. And they had guards there with dogs. But everybody knew me, because I had a business there, and, I mean, we were the only Americans in town. And so I used to talk to Mugabe all the time, not ever thinking that he was going to lead the country.
Wow.
And so he became a monster. I mean, this guy is a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he's turned that country upside down. He has these palatial homes in Palm Beach, in London, and he's just looted the entire country.
Wow. Yeah, he has. Wow. Yeah, it's...
So I'm one of the few people in the world in the last 50 years who has lived among the African and really understands them and spoke their language.
Yeah.
I've had a very interesting life, let me tell you.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like it very much. But thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm looking forward already to the next time. I'm actually going to try to get some other people on to ask some questions and let the audience ask you some questions the next time around. But thank you so much, Mr. Chapman.
Anytime you want, and we've got you scheduled, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, too, and thank you all for listening. Good night.
Good night. Mr. Bob Chapman from the Interactive Forecasters. Wonderful interview. Looking forward to having him on again. Real quick, I want to just quickly talk to y'all about Prophet Zone. We're going to be looking for more hosts that once you get us, contact us that you want to be a host on here. We're going to pray about it and give us some time and pray again. Then we're going to be starting a network separate from Blog Talk Radio. So just pray about it. If you're out there and you have a word to speak, we really don't mind if you pre-post mid. But here's the deal. If you're anti-pre or anti-mid and you post, well, we don't want you on the stage, on the radio station. The reason why I mean by that is we need people who are not trying to cause division. We need people who want to hear God's word and want to walk with God and live for Jesus and that also preach the gospel. So we are looking forward to getting on the other network because we have not been working on the other accounts on Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to start back again. We've just been working off of this account right here that you're listening to. So we want to get more out there. Common Salvation, be sure to check that out. In about a month, I'm going to start doing Bible study. That's Bible study. I'm going to be doing Bible study on every topic you can think of. And that's going to be fun. It's just to be able to do Bible study. And we're also going to be doing a lot more news updates, a lot more news pertaining to Bible prophecy, a lot more guests pertaining to Bible prophecy. And we're going to be coming straight to you to let you know that, yeah, the time is short. And just like a lot of my guests say, the time and things like are going to start transpiring pretty soon. And a lot of Blog Talk Radio hosts are putting the message out there. But I think our souls and our hearts are in the right place, it's the right avenue to spread the gospel because we have listeners. We have listeners who want to know about their future. We have listeners who are interested in Jesus Christ coming back. We want to tell y'all that God loves you out there and he wants to change you and he wants you to follow him. It was declared to the rich ruler, go sell all you have and follow me. Well, in this society, God is not telling you to drop everything you have and come follow him, but having a heart to drop everything and come follow him. That's why he said that if you don't hate your brother, sister, father, you know, all these people ahead of me. He didn't mean just literally hate because the Bible did not teach hate. But he was saying if you prioritize Jesus over, or God himself over all these people and all these things in your life, your career, then you are his disciple. You do belong to Jesus. But if Jesus is a second thought or a third thought or a fourth thought or a fifth thought, then you're probably not saved. That's what we're not going to tell you at this ministry. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you you're saved when you don't think about God at all. I'm not even going to tell you you're saved when you think about him a little bit. I'm going to tell you you're saved, and it's not up to me to tell you you're saved, but I can look at your fruit, and I can look at my fruit, and I can preach through me my life and how I understand now that in order to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, and soul, you have to prioritize God first. So if you got a troubled kid or a troubled daughter, you have to be seeking the Lord. That's how you put God first, is you seek the Lord for that problem, child, rather than seeking that problem child first through natural parenting, natural humanity skills, and not seeking God. That's how you got to put God first. If you have a troubled child, and that child is being bad rotten apple, you can easily focus on that kid and lose contact with God, lose vision of God in your life. So you go to God and you say, Lord Jesus, give me strength. You know, teach me, give me some, you know, will. Read his word. Find out how to parent. And I'm talking to myself, too. We have to put God first in everything we do. If you got to go on a trip, you know, ask God, should I go on this trip? If I should, send me to somebody that needs to hear the gospel. Send me to somebody who needs some money. You know, like my guest said the other night, this pastor, some of these pastors, instead of just taking all the money and sucking it up to yourselves, why don't you go out and give some money to some people? I mean, instead of sitting on your telethons and asking for money every 5 seconds, why don't you give some money up? So, this is the cause of the Prophecy Zone, is to help people understand that Jesus Christ is coming back. Things are going to shift on its axis. It might have not been what we said, but a lot of these evil people on Blog Talk Radio, some people that's hunting me every time I open up a chat room. I don't even use the chat room no more. And I ask for forgiveness to all that are out there who listen to my show, but hey, if you feel like I should open up a chat room, you know, come on in and moderate, and I'll open one up. But until then, I have bad luck with this. I hate to say the word luck, but I have bad, whatever you want to call it, with the chat room. So pray for me. And pray for this ministry that we will go forth and preach the gospel. We're at a couple thousand, 5,000 people, hopefully, at the end of November. And hopefully by next summer, we'll be at 10,000 listeners a month. We're probably going to be at 6,000 to 7,000 listeners for just Blog Talk alone. 7,000 listeners a month, which is cool. But we're looking for 20, 30,000 listeners. So we're not out to get money. We're just out to, we get encouraged when we know people are listening to the show. I get greatly encouraged when I know that, hey, 7,000 people, by the time Christmas comes, 8,000 people would have listened to the show in November. You know, I get, or even 8,000 in February for November. For December, the same thing, 9,000 people listen. I get very encouraged when people are listening to the show. And I got four other hosts, so it's not all about me. It's not all about me. But I enjoy tonight. I thank God that, you know, we got through the show today. And I pray that y'all tune in tomorrow. We got four guests that will be on the show. I lost the list. Susan Pozio, L.A. Marzulli, Ralph Apperson, and Mike Bradford from Revival Fire will be joining us. So God bless y'all, and I pray that everybody will tune in tomorrow. And I pray that y'all have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name, God bless y'all. Amen. God bless.